The House will come to order. Please stand. The flag salute will be led by Representative Richardson.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Today's opening ceremony will be presented by the Heart of the Valley Children's Choir from Corvallis, Carol Nelson, director, Sherry Bird, pianist, John Donahue, drummer, and they are guests of Representative Gelzer.
Good morning. I'd like to explain the song a little bit to you. We're going to sing a piece called Oye by Jim Papoulas. And Jim Papoulas goes around the world giving composition workshops to depressed areas. In this particular case, he was in Mexico in a very depressed area teaching the children to compose music. And they said, well, what do we write? We don't know what to write. And he said, well, what do you want the rest of the world to know? And so a little boy put his hand up in the back and he said, Oye, listen up. We want them to listen to us. And that's what Oye means, is to listen up. I think it's perfect for legislators, don't you?
Oh,
Thank you, Ms. Nelson, Ms. Bird, Mr. Donahue, members of the choir, for helping us start our day in such a spirited manner. Thank you. Order of courtesies. Representative Gelzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, listen up. These are the students of the Mid-Valley who sing in the Heart of the Valley Children's Choir, which rehearses in Corvallis but includes students from all over the Mid-Valley. You've gotten to meet Carol Nelson, who has a distinguished history in Corvallis, not only with the Heart of the Valley Children's Choir, but for a very long time was the music teacher at my children's school, for so long that she was actually the teacher of my little brother. So join me in welcoming the Heart of the Valley Children's Choir here today. We'll hear a resolution in a little bit celebrating their 25 years of service. And please know there are hundreds of children. This is one of the choirs, but the children range in age from third grade all the way up to graduation. So I'm proud to bring a slice of the Mid-Valley to you, and thank you for welcoming them today. Welcome to your Oregon House of Representatives.
Welcome, and thank you again. Okay, now for our sesquicentennial moment in history from Representative Garrett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today's moment in history is about the Women's Land Army. In 1942, after many men in Oregon had left the workforce to fight in World War II, thousands of women pitched in to work on Oregon farms. Farmers in Oregon faced labor shortages during the summer of 1941 and expected the problem to be worse in 1942, particularly in the Willamette Valley. In the spring of 1942, state officials registered nearly 100,000 women who said they were available for emergency farm work. The women were trained at Oregon State Agricultural College in Corvallis, and from 1943 until 1945 worked with the Women's Land Army, which placed more than 78,000 women on Oregon farms. The WLA was part of the federal government's Emergency Farm Labor Program, which also invited thousands of Mexican nationals to work on American farms and recruited youth as Victory Farm volunteers. Recruiters for the Women's Land Army appealed to women's patriotism with posters that called on women to pitch in and help and harvest war crops. Nationally, nearly 3.5 million women joined the effort. The women worked in both permanent and seasonal jobs, weeding, harvesting, canning, and operating farm machinery. The pay was low, with WLA members in Oregon earning between 60 and 90 cents an hour. In some places, workers were transported to the fields in housewife special buses.
Thank you, Representative Garrett. Further courtesies, Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, we have Emily Hebert. Emily, if you'd like to stand up. Emily is an eighth grader at Leslie Middle School. She loves animals, basketball, playing the flute, and volunteers in her church nursery. And someday she wants to take care of my two black labs as a veterinarian. So welcome, Emily. And our next honorary page from Leslie Middle School is America Bezara Barraza. Okay, my daughter, who is a speaker of multi-languages, could say it better than me. Welcome. And America is involved in orchestra, National Honor Society, track and field, and volunteers at the YMCA. We appreciate that here in our community. And at some point in time in her life, would like to be an obstetrician. Welcome.
Further courtesies, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Amanda, would you please stand? This, of course, colleagues, you would know would be my favorite part of the day. We have an honorary page from Staten Middle School. She is in the eighth grade. She's 14, and we had an interesting conversation a couple minutes ago, and she is interested in either being a veterinarian, into zoology, ecology, and, of course, the sciences. And so please welcome her to the House. And also, colleagues, would you please extend courtesies? Up here we have Larry Anderson, who works for Lebanon High School. He's a counselor there. He has been instrumental the past few years in connecting our our kids at Lebanon with the local community college and has just excelled in that. And quite frankly, though, he's probably here because he has a kiddo over there. So please welcome him.
Welcome. Thank you. Further courtesies, Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I have the honor of welcoming three honorary pages from Beaverton today. Let's call your name, please stand. Jake Schlack is here from the Arts and Communication Magnet Academy in Beaverton. He's a 12-year-old sixth grader interested in art, math, science, and obviously politics, whose career goal is to be an architect. I appreciate you being here. Austin Niesner from Tahoma Middle School, also 12 in grade 7, interested in the drama club and swimming, and wants to be an engineer. We appreciate you being here. Both of you, obviously, career goals that under great need in Oregon. And Benjamin Niesner, age 11, sixth grade from Glacier Park Elementary, whose interests range from math, science, drama, and baseball, who wants to be a baseball player. I can understand that as the Major League season gets underway. Thank you all for being here and for your service.
Pages, welcome to the House, and thank you so much for your service today and for taking care of us. Hope you have a truly memorable day. Further courtesies, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like you to be aware that Lane Community College is in the building today, and I think they're up in the gallery. Welcome. I see President Mary Spilde, along with many other students, staff, faculty, administrators, and board members from Lane Community College. Community colleges and universities are leading efforts to restore our economy and getting Oregonians back to work. These particular people from Lane are here today to talk to us about their campus. Among other things, the campus enrollment has increased by 17%. They are in the Galleria. I want you to go and talk with them. They are doing a number of things in the Galleria that represent some of the programs at Lane Community College. You might be surprised if you go down there. I suggest you do so. Welcome, Lane Community College.
Welcome, guests from Lane. You are our future. Further courtesies. Colleagues, I need to tell you that this Saturday, April 11th, is a very special day for those of us in Multnomah County. It is the birthday of one of us in the House, Representative Nick Call, and I hope you will join me in extending birthday greetings, birthday wishes, to Representative Call, and I'm sure they will be well deserved. Further courtesies, colleagues? Verification of quorum. The clerk will open the voting system to determine the presence of a quorum. Representative Greg Smith is present. Okay. Excused Representatives Greenlich, Kenemer, Matthews, and Nolan. A quorum is present. Messages from the Governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that the Senate has adopted SCR 11 and concurred in House amendments and repassed Senate Bill 311.
First reading, memorials and resolutions.
SCR 11 in memoriam, James Klonsky, 1925 to 2009.
Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Special order of business. The clerk will read the resolution.
HCR 4, congratulating Heart of Valley Children's Choir on 25 years of achievement and service to youth of Mid-Willamette Valley.
The question now arises upon final reading and adoption of HCR 4. Representative Gelzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, just moments ago, you had the opportunity to... Just a few moments ago, you had the opportunity to hear one of the great sources of pride for the Mid-Willamette Valley, and that is the Heart of the Valley Children's Choir. And after the students sang, one of our members came to me and thanked me for inviting this group to the Capitol and said, we need to remember this is what it's all about. These students who are working so hard and represent such promise to us for the future. And she also added that here in this group you've got kids who are engaged and involved in something that they enjoy and love and gives them a sense of purpose. The Heart of the Valley Children's Choir was founded in 1984 by two music teachers that had gone to an education through music conference. And they came back and they were determined to create a wonderful opportunity for students in Corvallis. And it has grown and flourished since that time.
Excuse me, Representative. Colleagues, can we please have order? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Heart of the Valley Children's Choir is recognized as one of the best youth organizations in the state of Oregon. And talking to students who have participated, including two of my own, what the students learn is not just musical skills and singing. It's also teamwork. It's responsibility. It's how to make and keep a commitment. When you have a rehearsal, when you have a choir concert, and a better offer comes along for something fun you want to do, you know that your place that day is with your choir because your choir mates are counting on you. The Heart of the Valley Children's Choir isn't just recognized in the Mid-Willamette Valley. They are known actually all over the world. They are musical ambassadors to our sister city in Uzhgorod, Ukraine, and they have traveled there. The Heart of the Valley Children's Choir has also traveled around the world. They've sung in China, and they've sung in cities and hamlets and towns and street corners and shops all over Europe. And this summer, you're invited to join us down in Corvallis as the Heart of the Valley Children's Choir welcomes a large musical celebration, a big joint gathering of choirs to celebrate their 25 years and also the importance of music to students, the importance of to students, and there's so much that happens here on the floor. I get distracted so easily. Thank you, Representative.
Further discussion.
Wait, I'm not done.
Oh, sorry, Representative.
I think I have a question on a point of order before we vote on this. There has been a request about whether or not the choir could sing Happy Birthday to Nick Call. I don't know how that fits.
I think we can indulge the choir and or indulge that request, yes? Oh, but once we have passed the resolution and you are officially commended...
Wonderful. So, colleagues, with that point, and thank you to the representative from the land of the Christmas trees for the note. Colleagues, I would urge you to join me in congratulating this extraordinary youth organization, the teachers, the parents, the staff, the volunteers, and most importantly, the students that bring such joy to so many people. Please join me in congratulating them by passing House Concurrent Resolution 4. Thank you.
Further discussion? Hearing none, Representative Gelzer, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
She does not. Those who are of the opinion that HCR 4 should be adopted will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Holvey. Representative Holvey, yes. Votes aye. House Concurrent Resolution 4, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. Representative Gelzer, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. Speaker, I request unanimous consent to return to the order of courtesies.
Representative Gelzer requests unanimous consent to return to order of courtesies. Is there any objection to that request? Seeing none, it's so ordered. Representative Gelzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would hope that the colleagues in the House would join me in wishing Representative Nick Call a happy birthday. And with your indulgence, Mr. Speaker, and the indulgence of the choir, I wondered if they might sing happy birthday to Representative Call.
Without objection, so ordered. Choir. Thank you again. Representative Call, congratulations again. Propositions and motions. First reading of House bills. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2184 relating to beverage containers. House Bill 2528 relating to special events licenses. House Bill 2655 relating to adverse possession of public land. House Bill 2671 relating to solid waste disposal. House Bill 3055 relating to revocation of anatomical gift.
Bills read second time or passed the third reading. Consent calendar. The clerk shall read the House bill.
House Bill 2127 relating to notices in contested cases permits Department of Human Services to serve contested case notice by regular mail.
Okay. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2127A. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barker. Representative Barker votes aye. Representative Wingard. Representative Wingard. Representative Wingard votes aye. Representative Krieger. Representative Krieger votes aye. House Bill 2127A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Third reading of House bills. Yes. Colleagues, the chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and House Bill 2227 be taken from today's calendar and placed in its proper place on Monday, April 13th, 2009 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2418 relating to persons exempt from real estate licensing law.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2418A. Representative Chris Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2418A comes to you from your Committee on Business and Labor, where the bill passed unanimously. Under current law, an individual selling real property that they own has never been considered professional real estate activity. Thus, they are not required to obtain a real estate license. In this regard, there is a fairly lengthy list of individuals and entities that are not subject to real estate licensing laws in order to facilitate the sale of property that they own. Under the current statute, the list includes employees of corporations, partnerships, and associations. These exceptions in the law exist to allow these entities to negotiate the sale of their own property without necessarily hiring a real estate licensee. Unfortunately, there is some ambiguity in the current statute, which does not specifically reference LLCs, as they were not prevalent when the statute was adopted. This means that these parties are treated differently under real estate licensing law than comparable businesses who are organized differently. This bill clarifies the confusion surrounding the statute by allowing managing or sole members of LLCs to sell the real property of the LLC without obtaining a real estate license, by limiting the exception to those individuals who have an ownership or controlling interest in the LLC. The language in the amended bill carefully limits the exclusion to real estate licensing requirements. The bill also clarifies the language for partnerships and corporations. Colleagues, this bill simply updates and clarifies the law to take into account the reality that more and more businesses today are choosing to organize as limited liability companies. There was a great deal of testimony from stakeholders on the bill in committee, including the real estate agency and realtors. Colleagues, it passed unanimously out of committee, and I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Representative Schaffler? No. Seeing none, Representative Edwards, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those who are opposed should vote nay. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer is present. She votes aye. Representative Gilliam.
Aye.
Representative Gilliam votes aye. House Bill 2418A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2506, relating to persons subject to regulation by Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2506A. Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2506 requires health plan benefits to include coverage for licensed professional counselors, or LPCs, and licensed marriage and family therapists, or LMFTs, acting within their scope of practice. For those of you who missed the fireworks during the waning moments of the 2008 session, this body looked at similar legislation, but that effort was scuttled and left political wounds and hard feelings that I hope today will be healed. House Bill 2506 is a practice act which clearly defines the practice of professional counseling and marriage and family therapy. This bill takes these two professions to a new and better place. LPCs and LMFTs will now have a practice act rather than the old and less rigorous titling act. Under a state title act, unqualified individuals may not call themselves a licensed professional counselor or licensed marriage and family therapist. However, they may still perform the work of an LPC or LMFT. A practice act, which this bill is, prohibits unqualified individuals from calling themselves a licensed professional counselor or a licensed marriage and family therapist and from practicing the profession. This is the strongest form of a regulation to ensure the protection of the public health, safety, and welfare. House Bill 2506 updates statutory language to meet national standards for education, training, and experience for marriage and family counseling, as well as the diagnosis of mental disorders. HB 2506 exempts the following groups: other mental health professionals licensed in Oregon, mental health employees in government or private agencies, members of the clergy, alcohol and drug counselors certified in Oregon who do not qualify for licensure by education or practice. Oregon's need greater access to mental health services, and this legislation moves Oregon in the right direction. I ask for your support today of House Bill 2506. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Thatcher.
Question to the carrier.
Question to the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Yes, I do.
And I apologize, good representative. This question just arose this moment. So can you clarify how this is mandating that these particular professions are covered when certain circumstances exist? It's not adding an additional mandate. Am I correct?
Representative, this is in fact a mandate. Currently, we require that licensed clinical social workers and psychologists, or they're generally covered under most insurances, and this would require a health insurance provider or carrier that covers LCSWs and psychologists to also now cover LPCs and LMFTs. And so, yes, in that vein, it is a mandate.
Additional clarification?
Another question. Representative Maurer, do you yield?
I do.
Representative Thatcher?
So when they're covering other types of mental health professionals, coverage for mental health professionals, this bill would then require these other particularly mentioned mental health professionals to be covered by insurance as well.
That is correct.
Thank you. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Maurer, do you wish to close?
No.
He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those who are opposed shall vote nay. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Holvey. Representative Holvey votes aye. Representative Barton. Representative Barton votes aye. Representative Roblin. Representative Roblin votes aye. Representative Gilliam. Representative Gilliam votes aye. House Bill 2506A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2610, relating to healthcare professionals.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2610A. Representative Harker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2610A comes to you from the Committee on Healthcare with a unanimous due pass recommendation. Basically, the bill standardizes the use of the title doctor for health professionals who have advanced degrees. Patients really need to know they can rely on the legitimacy of their provider's credentials, and the title doctor implies that a patient can trust in that provider's expertise. The current statute that governs the use of the doctor title is a bit confusing. It has stopped some professionals with earned doctoral degrees and licenses in their fields from using the word doctor. This problem has mostly affected physical therapists, occupational therapists, and audiologists. House Bill 2610A would fix this problem by setting a uniform standard for health professionals that want to use the term doctor. They must meet two criteria. One, the individual must have a doctoral degree in their field of practice, and two, they must be licensed by their respective regulatory board. This section of law affects the use of the term only in a health care practice and not in other settings. Therefore, you may still refer to me as Dr. Harker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Harker, do you wish to close?
I do. House Bill 2610A sets a sustainable policy for helping patients trust in the veracity of health professionals' credentials and expertise. Please join me in voting aye.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill shall pass will vote aye. Those opposed will vote nay. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Cannon votes aye. House Bill 2610A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2613, relating to the provision of utility services to tenants and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2613A. Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2613A comes to you on a unanimous vote from your Consumer Protection Committee. House Bill 2613A arose from a case involving the Myra Lynn Mobile Home Park in Medford, in which the park was being charged a commercial rate for electricity, but was required by rule to charge tenants at the residential rate. The amended measure clarifies this process for landlords to charge tenants for the utilities and other services that the tenants are receiving. House Bill 2613A has the support of both the landlords and tenants of the Myra Lynn Mobile Home Park, as well as the authors of the original 2005 bill regarding tenant and owner relationships and the Manufactured Housing Landlord-Tenant Coalition. I ask for your support for House Bill 2613A. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Buckley, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that this bill shall pass will vote aye. Those opposed will vote nay. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Schaffler, how do you vote? Representative Schaffler? Representative Schaffler votes aye. Representative Gilliam votes aye. Representative Harker votes aye. Representative Springer votes aye. House Bill 2613A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. The clerk will read the bill.
HJM 3, urging Congress to increase funding and eligibility for fee basis programs for veterans and to review and simplify fee basis statutes and regulations regarding payment eligibility.
The question now arises upon final reading and adoption of House Joint Memorial 3. Representative Comp.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, thank you for the opportunity to come before you on behalf of House Joint Memorial 3. In a current speech, President Barack Obama said, "Keeping faith with those who serve must always be a core of American value and cornerstone of American patriotism. Because America's commitment to its servicemen and women begins at enlistment, and it must never end." House Joint Memorial 3 is about keeping that promise to ensure our veterans receive the same level of health care no matter where they choose to live, and making certain they know how to access care in Oregon, well, in the nation. The Governor's Task Force on Veterans Services heard from many veterans whose number one health care complaint was the VA's fee-based system. Fee-based is the VA health care contract payment system for local health care providers outside the VA system. The issue before us is simple. Should a veteran needing heart surgery travel 3 hours to go to one of the only two VA hospitals in our state, or can they go to a local provider? The problem is clear. The VA limits a veteran's access to the health to their local health care by requiring the veteran to travel these long distances. For instance, if a person who served in the military has a need for orthopedic surgery or heart surgery, and there is a doctor at the VA, regardless of a local doctor's location, you have to make that three-hour drive to Portland or Roseburg, even if that same service is available in your community. The bottom line, colleagues, is the VA fee-based program places a burden on our veterans each and every day when they deny them the ability to be taken care of locally. This is a burden on them and their families who have to drive them through rural Oregon to get to a hospital. The VA health care system is making access more available in Oregon. They have established 10 community-based outpatient clinics to improve health care. However, these are restricted to primary care and have limited mental health options. Consequently, again, veterans are having to travel long distances. Tens of thousands of post-9/11 veterans who have served in Baghdad, Iraq, or in the mountains of Afghanistan have been injured and require specialty care. They shouldn't have to drive hours to get that care. They should be able to receive it locally and at the expense of the Veterans Administration. House Joint Memorial 3 provides for this option and opportunity. Fee basis currently is inadequate, complicated, confusing, and not supportive of our veterans. We need to increase funding and eligibility. Moreover, we need to simplify the rules that regulate this system. Remember, more than 3,000 Oregonians who deploy in 4 weeks deserve our support and confidence. We owe it to them and their families to ensure they have local health care when they return in 18 months. It is indeed our responsibility, the Oregon House of Representatives, to urge Congress on the behalf of our veterans. Please join me in supporting the Oregon veterans and keeping our promise to ensure our servicemen and women have the care they deserve. Thank you, and I ask for your support for this resolution.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Compte, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
She does not. Those who are of the opinion that House Joint Memorial 3 should be adopted will vote yes. Those who are opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative David Edwards votes aye. Representative Jefferson Smith votes aye. Representative Hanna. Representative Hanna votes aye. Representative Springer votes aye. House Joint Memorial 3, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. The clerk will read the bill.
H.J.R. 40, recognizing Dr. Jane Lumchenko for contributions to marine biology and understanding of climate change and for service to Oregon.
The question now rises upon final reading and adoption of House Joint Resolution 40A. Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Joint Resolution 40 recognizes Dr. Jane Lubchenco. Colleagues, just 2 weeks ago, she was a professor at Oregon State University. Today, she is being sworn in by Vice President Joe Biden as Undersecretary of Commerce and Administrator of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Agency, known as NOAA. Dr. Lubchenco's 30-plus years as a member of the OSU faculty have been among the most productive and celebrated of any OSU professor in the university's 140-year history. She's one of only five OSU faculty members ever named to the National Academy of Sciences and has been honored with awards ranging from a MacArthur Foundation Genius Grant to 8 honorary degrees, including one from Princeton. Thanks to Dr. Lubchenco's work, not only do those in academia know more about the science of climate change, the general public knows more, too. She has played a critical role in encouraging scientists nationwide to share their work more publicly and has served as a role model in that regard, providing testimony to Congress, addressing the United Nations, offering scientific advice to the White House, federal and international agencies, non-governmental organizations, and being a reliable, credible source for media. She co-chaired Governor Kulongoski's advisory group on global warming and has helped take the lead in helping Oregon address its greenhouse gas emissions. Dr. Lubchenco's nomination as the first woman to head the NOAA was considered an early, very positive sign of how the Obama administration is committed to ensuring that science drives policy. In her new role, Dr. Lubchenco will have the opportunity to model Oregon values, our regard for the environment, our respect for factual knowledge, our history of thoughtful, creative engagement to address complex policy issues in a very high-profile position of scientific leadership. We're certain that in doing so, she will do what she has done for more than 3 decades at OSU, make Oregon proud. I urge your aye vote on HJR 40 in honor of Jane Lubchenco, the first woman to serve as head of NOAA and Oregon's highest appointment thus far in our new presidential administration. This vote came to you unanimously from your Environment and Water Committee, and I urge your aye vote.
Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the resolution. Colleagues, I'm in full support of this resolution today. I think it's a great honor for the state of Oregon to have Dr. Lubchenco serving in our national, at the national level on such important issues. And I just want to say how proud that we should be that a scientist of her caliber is being recognized by the Obama administration as a leader on a variety of issues. And just wanted to say I'm pleased to see this resolution today. Thank you, colleagues.
Further discussion, Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues.
To the bill?
To the resolution.
To the resolution, yes.
Mr. Speaker, colleagues, I actually have never had the honor of meeting Dr. Lubchenco, but I've had the honor of reading her work and her research and spent a lot of time in my college education reading the research that she has produced and studying it, and I could not be more proud that we have somebody of that caliber representing Oregon in our federal government. I've also had the opportunity to, in a former life, work for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It's a mouthful even for those of us who have worked there before. And in that experience, I often remarked about how much that organization needs somebody like Dr. Lubchenco, who brings a strong research mind, a strong conservation mind, a West Coast-oriented mentality, and can bring her fine research and her skills to that agency to make sure that we have an agency that is focused on making sure that we have the right federal policy oriented around conservation and climate change at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Cannon, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do. I'm just going to read a few words from this resolution. Be it resolved by the Legislative Assembly that we recognize and thank Dr. Lubchenco for her service to Oregon and for her valuable contributions to the science of marine biology and to our collective understanding of climate change. We wish her well in her new role as Undersecretary of Commerce for Oceans and Atmosphere and as Administrator of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Colleagues, this is a testament to a woman who's done great service for Oregon. We expect her to do great service for the country in her new role, and I urge your aye vote.
The House will stand at ease, please. Those who are of the opinion that the memorial should be adopted will vote aye. I'm sorry, the resolution should be adopted will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Wisman. Yes. Representative Wisnet, how do you vote? Off the floor. HJR 40A, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. The clerk will read the memorial.
SJM 3, urging Congress to enact legislation providing complete health care for all honorably discharged veterans and their dependents.
Question now arises upon final reading and adoption of Senate Joint Memorial 3. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Joint Memorial 3 urges Congress to enact legislation to fully fund health care for all honorably discharged veterans and their dependents. The VA health care funding becomes mandatory rather than discretionary. This is basically what we can do and do the right thing for our veterans. Oregon has approximately 270,000 veterans who are either enrolled in a non-Veterans Administration health care program, such as state program, or have no health care at all. Only 80,000 veterans are enrolled in the VA health care program. And after the veteran enrolls, eligibility is verified and the individual is assigned a category group based on a specific eligibility status. The priority group ranges from 1 to 8, with 1 being the highest priority for enrollment. Health care is one of many guarantees promised to the past generations of military service members, including World War II, Korean, and Vietnam War veterans. However, in 2003, a ban on enrolling veterans of an income of $30,000 or more per year, regardless of a war period, was established. The proponents of Senate Joint Memorial 3 assert that this ban has denied care to millions of veterans. It's our duty and our job to pass this memorial today to our Congress. Our President Obama has recognized this problem, and he has prioritized the funding for this in his budget. There's widespread support among veterans and their families, veterans advocacy organizations, public officials, business and community leaders. And one of the main reasons is rising medical costs have severely hampered a timely access to quality health care for disabled vets. In a time when we're going to see a tsunami of returning veterans from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan in the next coming years, it's imperative that we do this now so that there's a seamless transition when they get home and they don't have to wait 8 months for care, especially if they have PTSD. So please support this memorial today and do the right thing for our veterans. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, first, House Joint Memorial 3 and now Senate Joint Memorial 3 recognize our commitment to veterans, our appreciation for their service to our country, and the fact that we simply must honor their appropriate expectation of the availability of the health care services that they've been promised. As chair of the House Veterans and Emergency Services Committee, I just want today to mention my appreciation for the support of our entire congressional delegation, standing ready to move some of these efforts forward at the federal level where they need our attention. I thank you for your support of the previous joint memorial and appreciate your support of this one as well.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Boone, do you wish to close? She does not. Those who are of the opinion that the memorial should be adopted will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Bailey votes aye. Representative Esquivel. Representative Esquivel votes aye. Representative David Edwards votes aye. Representative Cannon votes aye. Senate Joint Memorial 3, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. Representative Nathanson. For what purpose do you rise, Representative Nathanson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to ask for permission to return to the order of courtesies.
Representative Nathanson requests unanimous consent to return to the order of courtesies. Any objections? Seeing none, Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to welcome part of the group of about 100 students from Gillum Elementary School that are visiting from North Eugene today. Welcome, students from Gillum.
Further courtesies? Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 163 relating to nursing assistance.
The bill is read the second time, is passed to third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 213 relating to the Attorney General's regulation of tobacco.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 213. Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 213 clarifies that out-of-state and internet sellers of tobacco products to Oregon consumers are subject to the same regulation as are sellers of tobacco products located in Oregon. Further, it provides for a civil penalty for violation of tobacco regulations up to $5,000 per violation. I urge your support.
Further discussion, Representative Garrard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier, do you yield? Does the carrier yield?
Yes. How is the good representative foresee this being policed?
and regulated. How do you tell somebody in Idaho they can't sell a product in Oregon off the internet?
Thank you, Mr. Representative. Upon determination that a distributor has violated ORS 180.440, the Department of Revenue may revoke or suspend the license of the distributor in the manner provided by ORS 323.140.
Further question, Mr. Speaker?
Further question, does the carrier yield?
Absolutely.
He does. Representative.
Good representative from Josephine County. What if the person selling the tobacco in Idaho is not licensed?
My fellow colleague from Southern Klamath County, I cannot answer that question.
Thank you, Mr. Representative. Appreciate it.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Maurer, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer votes aye. Representative Cannon votes aye. Representative Cowan votes aye. Representative Springer votes aye. Representative Thatcher votes aye. Representative Jensen votes aye. Senate Bill 213, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Remonstrances. Representative Greg Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, just very quickly, I want to share with you that we've lost one of our own colleagues who served in this body from 1977 to 1989. Representative Brizotti, who came from LeGrand and served for 12 years in the House, has passed away. He was a tireless advocate for natural resource management and for agriculture. He'll be missed and known primarily for his ability and his willingness to try and bridge that divide between Eastern Oregon and the rest of the state. He's survived by his wife and his children and a handful of wonderful grandchildren. Representative Brizotti, we'll miss you, and thank you for your service to the state of Oregon. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remonstrances, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, just as a reminder, not a remonstrance, but between noon to 2 p.m. today outside Capitol steps is C-SPAN bus, and take an opportunity to go out and visit that. Thank you.
Further remonstrances. Adjournment, Representative Jensen, 10:15 a.m., Monday, April 13th, 2009.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m., April 13th, 2009.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m., Monday, April 13th, 2009. Without objection, the House is adjourned.